Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Welcome in to Slapshot Radio on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Oh, we're breaking down a key road trip, a critical road trip that takes the Nashville Predators to Canada and finishing off with a back-to-back in Columbus and Minnesota. Oh, we got lots to talk about tonight. It's all brought to you by day one sponsor, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. Carter Church from Weichart Realtors, the Andrews Group, your real estate expert in Murfreesboro and Nolensville. And the latest additions to the Slapshot Radio family of advertisers, the largest wine and spirit store in Middle Tennessee, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, and our friends at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries Nashville, with three locally owned and operated locations right here in Middle Tennessee. I'm Paul McCann. Our co-hosts are former NHL coach and player Brent Peterson, and the host of the Preds Watch Parties tomorrow night is moved to draft picks in Bellevue, right?
That is correct, sir.
Zach McCann with us. Zach, how are you this evening?
Doing fantastic. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Coach, how about yourself?
Doing great.
I love that. You know, breaking some land speed records coming over here after the Peterson for Parkinson's Foundation
board meeting
there. I like it. We were kind of expecting him to be a little bit late. However, there is a line of police cars out there looking for you, Brent. I'm not sure.
They don't call him Brent Leadfoot Peterson for nothing. So.
It is Slapshot Radio. We're here to waste another hour of your time talking about your favorite sport, your favorite team, the Nashville Predators. And you know what? You got to look at last Monday. It is interesting. Last Sunday morning, it was, you know, an interesting show. And you look at the two games that followed, and you're sitting here going, oh, no, we suck again. And then all of a sudden, a back-to-back sweep of the Dallas Stars, Zach. And, you know, you could say this team forechecked well. You can say this team played excellent defense. You can actually say something and say it with a straight face that the power play was effective. But you got to say, goaltending was unfreaking believable.
I mean, really, for both teams, it was unconscious for both games, and the difference was special teams. UC Saros, Anton Khudobin, and Ben Bishop, all three of those goaltenders put on sparkling performances, but only one was perfect, and that was UC Saros posting back-to-back shutouts.
First time in his career that he's done that, and I think it's safe to say, you know, you're not going to hear it from the locker room. You know you're not going to hear it from the coaches. UC Saros is this team's number one now.
Yeah, he's number one, but, you know, Pekka's got to get some games through the end of the season here. He's going to get some back-to-backers, I'm sure. But, UC's been so good. He's been so square to the puck every time. He doesn't allow wraparounds. He doesn't allow all those things. And the guys are playing a little bit better in front of him, but he's still stealing the show. He's been just terrific.
He is just eating up rebounds right now. Nothing. It's kind of like... Yeah. Just the puck is dead when it comes off him. It's unbelievable to watch how well he absorbs a rebound right now.
The vision that he has, seeing the ice right now, I mean, the guy is
he's a lot lower to it than anybody else.
Well, certainly helps. But that's always been UC Saros' strength as a goaltender, has been his angling. And right now you are seeing him just on another level right now. And I saw an interesting few stats earlier that if you compare the numbers of Pekka-Rinne's first 115 games to now UC Saros' 115 games, almost identical numbers.
Well, you look at certainly a different style of goaltender, certainly a different feel, obviously,
yes.
You know, under 6 foot.
Yes and no, oddly enough. Like, yeah, the size difference is absolutely apparent, but the way both of those goaltenders play and the way that you can tell when they're on and off is exactly the same.
Very true.
You see UC Saros, you know, you can always tell. The same thing with Pecorine. Whenever he's flopping around, you know, not necessarily sure of himself from within himself, that's when you can tell if a goaltender is on or off, and especially the case with both Pecorine and UC Saros.
Yeah, the only thing that Pekka does better than UC is get that wrap around the boards, but sometimes he doesn't even get out of his net, which he shouldn't because it could go off the glass, but he would get the wrap around, and then he always throws it up our left boards in their right side from the other team. Mm-hmm. He always throws it up, and he's got defensemen got to be talking behind him for that back pass and that to get you out of the zone a lot easier. Oh. If you throw it up, everybody goes to that side, so UC will learn about that, And we've got good goaltending coaches, so I think they'll talk to him about it. But that's the only thing I see.
Yeah.
He's been so good, so technically sound. He reads the puck off the stick. He knows where it's going, and he's very efficient in his movement. He's not flopping all over. He's very efficient. He does a great job that way.
And that's the key right there. When you see that goaltender being quiet, you know, I can remember Mitch Korn talking about this with Pekka years ago. With Chris Mason, he talked about it. With Dan Ellis, he talked about him being quiet between the pipes. Very definitive motions.
You know who's the best in the league is Price, because he looks like he doesn't care, but he's so smooth in his movements. He's just great in Montreal. He's a great, great goaltender.
Well, speaking of,
we're going to say, you know, we're certainly going to talk about that coming in tomorrow night and into Pred Nation. The watch party tomorrow, obviously, getting started at 5 o'clock over
That's
there at Draft
right.
Picks. So
come see us Tuesday. Come see us Thursday. Come see us Saturday at Buffalo Wild Wings out in Spring Hill, and Sunday at Kentucky Downs.
If you're out there on Saturday. You never knew who else might show up, because I don't know, there may be a birthday, there may be a little celebration going on. I'm not saying who, Zach's birthday, but I am saying that something may happen as far as that goes. So we're going to have a little fun on Saturday night out of Buffalo Wild Wings. Yeah, we're going to embarrass the heck out of you.
Yeah, the exciting milestone of 31. Everyone's
yes,
looking
exactly.
for that one.
Everyone goes crazy on that one.
Double your age.
So when you look at this back-to-back, okay, we've talked about Saros. Absolutely an outstanding performance. But one of the knocks that you've heard about this team, I mean, not only about special teams, but you heard about the big guys not really stepping up. Well, I think you might be able to say that those last two games you saw the big guys step up. You saw Johansson score. You saw Duchesne score. That was enough on Thursday night. And then you saw Ryan Ellis put one in. That was, you know, that's enough for Saturday
night.
You
saw Forsberg score. That was great, too.
I mean it's been an interesting it's been interesting to watch the top six. I like the line combinations that have been put together right now. I was a little not so great on the, you know, kind of let's make sure we put one big guy on every line and let's, but you know, kind of yeah, that exactly. kind of mix up. But once they returned back to the line combination, Zach, I think you saw the team settle in and actually, again, play within itself. Take what the team you were playing would give you and take advantage of it.
Well, Duchesne, Granlund, Forsberg has just been dominant out there. They're playing like they were to start the season, which has been really, really exciting to see. The interesting one that I'm surprised has stuck has been the Johansson, Sissons, and Yarncroak line. That's been interesting to watch, and they've looked like they're starting to develop some chemistry out there together. It's forcing Johansson to play a different game, but it's not one that's not necessarily foreign to him.
Yep.
He's starting to use his body more. He's starting to look like, you know, he's working a lot harder out there. Not that I would ever question his work ethic in that regard, but you can see him out there getting those bursts of speed, using that physicality a bit more.
You're seeing him get a little nasty. You're seeing the sandpaper coming back out in this game, and I'm sorry, but Johansson needs that to be highly effective, because if you think about the playoff run in 17, you think about, you know, even back in 16, even in you know, you start seeing that sandpaper come out. He starts using that size that Johansson has, and you don't really think of him as an overly physical player, but he really has that capability, and he has that disturbers, that poop starers kind of thing going on that he loves to aggravate the opponent.
And he also, I think John put, you know, Yarncroak and Sissons there because they're great defensive players, and Joey could do his thing up front, but Joey's been really good in his own end too, but he's got two really solid guys playing defense with him, and then He's been better. He's been working hard. He's been moving his feet. That's all Joey has to do. If he doesn't move his feet, he's in trouble.
True.
He just can't keep up that way. And, I mean, Arvidsson could just fly and go. Mm-hmm. And even he's had struggles at times this year. But like you said, our penalty kill has been perfect in the last three or four games.
Love that.
And your goalie is your best penalty killer, as we've always said.
Sure.
And then you got the power play scoring two big goals on the Thursday night. And Ellis getting one yesterday, that's all we needed because everybody else played a great game. And I thought we played very well. We weren't in our end for all those long cycles that we used to, long-term deals in our end, going round and round and round. And we forechecked and got them off their game in their end a little bit.
That's the type of game, Zach, that the fancy stats people absolutely love.
I mean, I don't know. But honestly, it's funny because Saturday, there were two of my favorite regular season hockey games I've seen in quite some time. That Dallas-Nashville game was just a slugfest between two very talented teams, low scoring but high event at the same time. And then the pure abject insanity that was the Tampa Bay Lightning versus the Boston Bruins that night.
Who would have ever thought? Now look, Bruins Flyers, Bruins Habs, you know, Bruins Maple Leafs.
See a comment.
Maybe. But the Bruins and the Lightning, two line brawls.
It was awesome.
I mean, it was straight out of Slapshot. It was unbelievable. Everybody grabbing a partner, and I mean, it was kind of fun to watch. It was a throwback, that's for sure.
Absolutely. But you know, that was just one of those kind of sit down in front of the TV and love the game for the entire day kind of days of hockey. But going back to the Preds, how good is it to have Yakov Trenin back in this lineup?
I like his game. What I really like is I think we're starting to see a little bit of the as Terry Crisp would say, that you know, that miserable SOB factor. I mean, because you've got not only Yakov Trenin with some size, not afraid to go to the hard areas, not afraid to go to the middle, and then you've got a new D pairing that
terrific.
I want to talk
terrific.
More about, because we're almost up against a break. Mm-hmm. But we're going to talk more about the Jared Tinordi, just renaissance coming in and pairing him up with recent acquisition Corbinian Holzer. The last two games, I have loved that D pairing. We're going to talk about that more when we come back. You know, but they have been with us since day one of the show. The premier sponsor of Slapshot Radio is Doctors Jane Bacon and Aileen Kruger over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. Man, I tell you what a wonderful staff over there. They've got a great environment. They make it so easy to get your dental needs taken care of. And if it wasn't enough, all the latest in dental technology, including in-office whitening, even sedation dentistry. And I've been going there for almost 15 years. It's a great office. You got to check them out at WeBrightonSmiles.com. Or call for an appointment at 615-872-7762. That's 615-872-7762. Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. We brighten smiles. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5, The Game, Nashville's best sports talk. Paul McCann, Brent Peterson, Zach McCann coming at you on Slapshot Radio. You know what? We just started talking about this before the break. I want to dive right back into this, but I am really, really impressed. I thought it after Thursday night's game, but they did it again on Saturday afternoon. Tinordi and Holzer, you have to love a couple of guys that bring a little bit of grit, a little bit of sandpaper, and a little bit of size to a team, quite frankly, that desperately needs it.
You're exactly right. We needed the size. We had the smallest forwards in the league. And those two guys, and added Trenin, who we all loved when he was up here, he just does a great job. He finished every check, and they had guys yelling at him from the bench, yelling at him, "We're going to get you, Rook." But he was running everybody. It was terrific. And he made good plays, and he said, "I just love the kid. I think he should be higher up in the lineup, even though it's early for him, but to do that, and you don't have a lot of games to test it out." But
I like the line he's on, though, with Arvidsson and Turris.
Exactly.
That's a good line.
And Turris needs that kind of guy, and he needs a guy to go get the puck and force the issue. And Arvy's skating better and doing a little bit better, so it is a good line. And John's got four equal lines. Like, he's put a guy, a grinder and a big guy or a smaller guy, a skilled guy on every line. And they've done a good job. And even though they think everybody says it's the fourth line, sometimes they're not the fourth line. He had them out there in the end of the game and both games. So, and I just love the two defensemen. They're big, they're strong, and they handle the puck better than I thought they would. I thought it'd be a big bomb for them, and they'd be giving up guys up the middle and things like that. But they, Holzer looked like a Bobby Orr last night. He was terrific.
I wouldn't go that far, but I mean, look,
Bobby wasn't that good.
Yeah, are they getting dummied from an advanced statistics perspective? Absolutely. You know, they're getting crushed in that perspective, and it is a thing. Again, it's information.
Right.
That's all
right.
It is.
Yeah.
No, this is one of those things where
what they do for the team you can't write down on an analytic.
This is definitely one of those things where it is a matter of the eye test doesn't match up with the numbers because you do like what you're seeing out of them, and it is allowing UC Saro. You know, they're letting UC Saro see the puck, and that's one of the big key things too is, you know, they are giving up a lot of shots and a lot of chances, but you've got Saros eliminating a lot of that out there too. And I mean, yeah, you do like the fact that they're standing up for him and they're bullying teams out there, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, especially when you have two very solid pairs with, you know, Josi and Ellis being one of the best in the league, and then Fabro and Ekholm I like a lot more when they're together as well.
I do too, and one of the things that I really like about this is that, and, you know, again, I, you know, you always revert back to your DNA. I mean, I grew up watching, you know, I mean, let's face it, you play 6 inches taller when you know, I mean, Jared Tenorti has got to be, he never has to buy another beer in that room, I bet. Just because, I mean, you know, after going after Perry, going after Bertuzzo, and in other words, it's like, I don't care if I wasn't on the ice, I'm here now, sucker.
Right.
And you know what? I'm sorry. There is something to that in this game. There is that intimidation factor, or at least that you may try, but I'll be waiting.
Well, all your teammates are play 6 inches taller, but all the other team, when they're on the ice, they're head on a swimmer looking, where are these guys? Are they, you know, a little bit shyer, and they don't go to the net like they usually do with them. And so they can block those things out, but they're just a good two pair. They're paired, and
they're a great bottom pair.
Yeah,
exactly.
Which is again, mm-hmm. This team needed it.
Yeah, absolutely.
This team absolutely needed just a little. Again, that grit, that sandpaper, that miserable SOB. I mean, that's exactly what this team needed, and I think we're starting to see the fruit of that labor. I mean, I'm sorry, but Perry started running around at the beginning on Thursday.
And he was right there.
And you know what? Tenorti hit him once.
Right.
Holzer hit him once. And all of a sudden, he wasn't running around as much.
And then Saturday turned into Mel Gibson's The Passion of Corey Perry. And boy, was that enjoyable.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the East German judge should have given him a bigger score. I was really upset about how the judge on that dive was. But other than that, I mean,
Roman Josi did get himself a $5,000 fine from the league for cross checking Perry in the head. And you know, you can say he went down easy. You can say this. It doesn't matter who it is. You can't be cross checking people in the head. Plain and simple.
But that word gets around with Holzer and it gets around the league, and people go, hey, listen, they stick up for themselves. They don't just let it go, and they stick up. They get a $5,000 fine in Josi, but he was trying to hurt the guy at the time.
And you know what? Here's the thing. Again, you talk about it getting around in the league. It does change some game plans. It does change some mindset. If you know that someone's going to be sticking up for him, you're thinking twice. You may still do it,
but
at least you're thinking twice about it. And I think that's something that, honestly, I think this team has been missing. I mean, for the last couple of years, it's been something that this team has been missing.
You haven't had to pay the iron price when you come into the zone lately for this team. And that hasn't been a thing for a while now as they've transitioned to more of a skill-based thing. But you have seen it in the last few cup winners that there usually is someone who's going to hold you accountable. You're going to have your players, you know, like you have on the Blues.
Right.
Even with Vegas making their improbable run, your Ryan Reeveses, those kind of players who are just your locker room grit and sandpaper guy to hold people accountable who can chip in occasionally, as we've seen from players like Jared Tenorti, who's got himself a goal and a couple of points as well.
Right.
It wouldn't shock me to see Carbini and Holzer get a few points coming up in the stretch run, too.
It wouldn't at all. So going into tomorrow night's game against Montreal, you've got a team that on a little bit of a roll. I mean, you know, you can't help but feel good about yourself after those back-to-back wins. You've got a Montreal team that's coming in off three straight losses on the road, coming back home. And let's face it, two straight losses, excuse me. They beat the Islanders. But then again, everybody's beating the Islanders now. But when you look at this team coming in, I mean, they're coming off, giving up a 4-0 shutout to Tampa Bay, a 4-1 loss to Florida. You know, Montreal doesn't normally handle things like that very well. And after a long road trip, this is their first game back. So, I mean, this is one where if the Nashville Predators are coming in at the right time, this could be the right time. But again, that consistency still needs to be there. The performance still needs to be there.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, I've crowned so many points in this season as the turning point that I'm not going to do it again. I'm just not. At this rate, prove it to me.
Yeah,
you know,
prove it is right.
But, I mean, you have to feel good about this team after the back-to-back performances. But at the same time, it's like, okay, we've seen, what, 1 4-game winning streak back in October and then a string of two-gamers, the 1 3-game winning streak. It's time to start stringing wins together, especially as the Minnesota Wild have caught absolute fire lately and have taken over the wild card spot as the Preds currently sit a point outside.
Well, you look at what's going on right now, and the interesting piece is this. You talk about this, the back-to-back sweep over Dallas. You know, those games get talked about as four-point games. That was a potential eight-point swing.
Yeah, you're only six back at Dallas right now.
At this point, and I seem to recall saying something about that, and someone looked at me like I had three heads, and it wasn't Coach Peterson. I mean,
you're not catching.
When you said that, I looked at you like you had three heads.
Yes,
for sure.
I know. And that's where when you're looking at that, I mean, again, to your point, Zach, stringing the wins together, making sure that this is what is happening here. I mean, and that's where I continue to go with. This team continues on that four out of six. We want to get
8 points on this road trip, but we're not going to. There's a good chance we won't get
you
it.
You get six or seven,
or you see it six or five, you even feel good.
And you're solidly good. In at that
you're solidly,
rate.
You're solidly right where you should
but
be.
The key is, like,
you got to win the right ones.
Sunday's a must win.
Yeah.
Especially after the knife in the heart that was the Minnesota game on Tuesday.
Right. Yeah. Yeah,
and
we didn't play well. We didn't forecheck. We didn't do anything we did against Dallas against Minnesota. We do the same thing against Minnesota that we did against Dallas. And I know it's hard to say that we can't because it's going to be a week apart in the games. But we have to play that way against Minnesota.
But you know what? I really feel like this team kind of remembered what happened on January 1st. I mean, I really do. I think they used that for a little bit of motivation, a little bit of push.
And I'm sure Perry's name came up a few times before they went on.
Maybe
the ice.
Once or twice. I'm not sure. But I'm sorry. But if you look at what happened last Tuesday night, that's that same kind of loss. Let's face it. The eyes of the NHL were on Nashville again for completely different reasons.
Yep.
But I mean, there was a lot of eyes on that game, and one more time, this team didn't deliver in the spotlight.
You know, the thing is, though, they looked good in the first period, and this is yet another time where this team just cannot buy a fortunate bounce right now, and the fact that they're still continuing to win games as these bounces seem to keep going against
them. It's a good point.
You know, it's going to turn at some point.
You know, other than Josi, our guys are really quite clumped right together with amount of points. Like you got Forsberg at 18, you got 18 for Bonino. You got all these guys with 9, 10, 12, 13 goals.
Yep.
We haven't had anybody dominate. We haven't had one top player dominate, and I call top players top liners. I call, Duchesne, Arvidsson, Forsberg, Johansson. Those guys are the guys I'm thinking of in the first two lines. But John spread them all out. I still think there's going to be some time when you got to get them back together because unless we just go on a run and we stay this way. But I'm telling you, you got to get your best players on the ice a little more.
That's the thing that bugs me, too.
Yeah,
you got to get those usage. Because right now, there were four players on that team who had less ice time than Philip Forsberg in that last game. Mm. And that's something you have to question. Forsberg is one of your most dominant players. And even with his, you know, little scoring drought that he had, he has still been dominant in every other facet out there. And I get trying to roll four lines. I understand.
But you know what, though? I agree with you. I look at this team and go, you know what? Maybe it might be a little bit different. And the reason why I say that is right now you've got 10 players in double-digit goals. You've got another four. You've got another three players that are nine. You've got another two players at eight. I mean, this is a score-by-committee team right now.
I get that, but let's not overthink it. Play your best players.
Oh, and you know what? If you don't do that, sooner or later you're going to be gone because you got to play your best players. You don't have to play them 25 minutes and then the other guy's 10 minutes.
Forsberg should be playing more than 16.
You're right. He should be 18, And maybe that somebody else should be 16. But that's not a lot of big change. But that's all you need is that extra shift or two a period and that extra power play get time. And Joey's back on the power play. I just noticed that.
And he should be.
And he should be. And he's earned his way back on. And now he's on because John's done a good job of making the guys accountable. But sooner or later, you got to play your best players. You got to say, you guys got the 8-year contracts. You guys got to be there for me. We got to do it because you can't. Because it's not going to be Granlund or those guys because they're going to be gone. So you need the guys to play.
No, you're absolutely right. I do not disagree with what you're saying, but I also seem to think that we've got a little bit more of a spread out offense right now that, you know, has been good for right now. But let's face it, come April, Zach, you're absolutely right. There needs to be 18, 19, 20 minutes coming out of Forsberg, out of Duchesne, out of Johansson, out of Arvidsson, and there's got to be production out of it. Hey, we're up against a break. Let me tell you about Carter Church from Weikart Realtors, the Andrews Group. You know, Carter, I've gotten to know him as we work together with the Predators, and, you know, he is one heck of a realtor. I'm telling you, Navy vet that has the marketing experience you need to get your home sold in this fast-paced market. And I'm telling you what, if you're buying, man, this guy has got some beautiful listings in Murfreesboro, in Smyrna, and especially in Nolensville. He has really got a lot of really nice listings in Nolensville. Call Carter today at 615-429-2044. That's 615-429-2044. Carter Church is your real estate professional if you're buying or if you're selling. Carter Church with Weikart Realtors, the Andrews Group. We'll be right back right here on Slapshot Radio on ESPN Radio 102.5 The Game. If you're talking about the playoff race, every game can shake it up. See what I did there, Max? Not bad, huh? Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'm getting the look from my son. So you look at, you know, the March Madness that is breaking out across college basketball, the SEC tournament obviously taking over Bridgestone Arena this week, the Predators on the road. There is, when you look at this Nashville Predators team now, you know, you've got a couple of, you got three straight games against Eastern Conference, followed by, as Zach put it, a critical matchup with the Minnesota Wild on the back end of a back-to-back.
I don't toss around the term must win often because, you know, really there's not a must win until you're in the playoffs or until it's, you know, it's do or die. Sunday feels like as close as you're going to get to a must win.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you look at what happened last Tuesday night.
Yep.
I mean, and with any luck, this is a team that, you know, kind of says, okay, it's time for us to, you know, let's seek a little revenge there. We just got it in Dallas, and boy, that tasted pretty good. Let's see what that tastes like in Minnesota. But you look at this Nashville Predators team right now. You're looking at a team that is a half-and-half proposition to make the playoffs. So my favorite, you know, my favorite website at this time of the year, Sports Club Stats.
42%.
43.8 right now. And, I mean, so if you just want to know who to root for right now, you want to root for, let's see here, where's my, you want to root for Arizona, because that's going to help.
You want to root up 2-0 on the Jets.
That's nice. And you also want to root for, Edmonton, you know, probably want to root for, root for an asteroid for the Edmonton-Vegas game. But, I mean, this is a team with a 50-50 chance to make the playoffs, but again, it's a team with its playoffs destiny in its own hands.
Yes.
It's so close that every game, every day, it's going to change every day. You're going to go from 40% to 70% when you win two in a row, and then you lose two in a row, it's going to go back to 40%. Because other teams are losing two, and they're also winning also. So it's just you just got to take care of your games. And this road trip, you just got to focus one game at a time. I know it's kind of cliche-ish.
Right.
And I'm a coach, and I love the cliches. but we got to win tomorrow night. Because it's not the worst team, but no team's bad in the league. But they're the most vulnerable right now. And you got to win one of the two in the next games. And you have to win the Sunday game. So you got to get 6 points out of that. That's how you get 6 points. It's 2 out of 3 with them. And then win the Sunday Minnesota game. And that's in.
You know, after this last two games, I don't think it's out of line to hope for a 16-game winning streak. You know, and realistically, a 32-game winning streak. And let's just cruise right to the cup at that rate. Am I asking too much here?
Yes, like,
just maybe just a little bit.
Tone it down just a little bit.
Nope. But when you look at where this team stands right now, you look at this team that has a total as we sit here right now, March 9th, 2020, at the beginning of play, this is a team that has 76 points. I'm going to tell you right now, the Mendoza line to make the playoffs looks like 94. So you need 18 points in your next 14 games.
8-4-2 you need. 8-4-2 that's what you need.
And, gee, what is that? Four out of every 66%. Six points.
Yep, the devil's percentage.
Four out of every 6 points. It's what, you know, I've been saying it since January, but it's still true right now. Now, look, does 94 guarantee you get in? No, it only gives you a 96.5% chance.
Can we make The Number of the Beast by Iron Maiden the song of the upcoming run? You know, 66.6 percentage points. That's all you need.
How much does it go down if you get 93 points?
Is
it
actually only a few points? 93 is you're at 89.2.
That's pretty good.
I mean, I always look at that 90% range as kind of the Mendoza line.
Still
there.
Still 11%.
It's so hard to tell because you have teams that come out of nowhere, like the Philadelphia Flyers, and go on nine-game runs.
And you have three-point games, too, so that's what hurts. Mm-hmm. Three-point games really hurt if you're trying to catch somebody.
If you're chasing, it's exactly right. So you've got Montreal tomorrow night, you know, making acquaintances with the so-called injured for life. Wait a minute. No, he's not. He's coming back. He's going to retire. No, he's not. Shea Weber.
And if he plays every game, his 1,000th game is in here on
that would be really kind of cool.
He's so cool.
Wouldn't that be
cool? That would be really kind of cool.
He plays every game. It'd be a 1,000th game when Montreal comes to town here.
That would
That'd be special.
That would be very special. That would be something very special to be a part of. So keep an eye out because Montreal is scheduled to be in here early April. So I think it's April 4th.
Shea doesn't cry very often, but I do all the crying for Shea because I cry at everything. But he's a tough guy, and he just wants to be stoked and play the game. That he doesn't want any attention on himself.
Never has.
But boy, 1,000 games for Shea Weber, that'd be great.
And to have the two teams that he's played for.
Right, exactly. That's what I mean.
You know, probably on Wednesday night hockey, if you look at it. I mean, because that's going to be a Wednesday night game. And if NBC doesn't carry that one, they're really out of their minds. So could be a lot of stuff happening on that one. So that's a big one. Then you're looking at Toronto and the Toronto Maple Leafs. I mean, talk about a team that's kind of hard to figure out. It's a team that...
Well, we're not familiar with one of those at all.
No, not at all. We never have that idea.
They're just like us. I think they're just like us. So you can't figure them out.
Spider doing a push-up on a mirror, Mr. Crisp.
Yep. Well, you know, you think about talking to Steve Dangle last week. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a team that right now, get them in a shootout, you're in good shape because they're 1-5 in a shootout. 4-5-1 in their last 10. I mean, this is a team that was competing for the Atlantic and now is fighting for its playoff life. And I don't know how they're reacting to it, though. This has just been such an odd team to try and look at and go, I mean, look, Nashville, you can almost expect it. But Nashville also doesn't have a Mitch Marner. Nashville also doesn't have a Jonathan Tavares. Nashville also doesn't have an Austin Matthews. I mean, so you're looking at, you know, superstars on that team. And, you know, but you're also looking at a team with question marks in goal. Have had it all year.
That's what I mean. Patrick
Anderson has been one of the lone bright spots, I think,
for
that term.
He's been serviceable. But
the biggest issue is they have no defense.
Exactly. No,
they have no. I was just saying.
They don't have a Roman Yossi.
They don't have a
Matisse Ekholm.
Ryan Ellis. But they have.
They don't even have a Dante Fabro.
They have a bunch of good forwards, like you just mentioned, with Marner and those guys. But they don't have the defense. So they're a funny team. They look great for. They look great in here when they played us.
Yeah, no kidding.
But they don't look great in other games, and you have to exploit. When you play Toronto Maple Leafs, you have to exploit their defense. You have to forecheck and make them make turnovers. You let them come with speed, they'll walk right through you.
You can't get in a track meet with them.
You can't get in a track meet, and you can't stand back and be standing still going backwards playing defense. You have to be going forward on your toes and forechecking and winning games that way against Toronto Maple Leafs.
You just saw, but I mean, seriously, in these last two, you saw what you need to do.
Right.
I mean, you saw this team play on its toes for, I'm going to say, 58 out of the 60?
Oh, I mean, they got...
If you're talking about the playoff race, every game can shake it up. See what I did there, Max? Not bad, huh? Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5, the game. I'm getting the look from my son. so you look at you know, the March Madness that is breaking out across college basketball, the you know, SEC tournament obviously taking over Bridgestone Arena this week, the Predators on the road. There is, when you look at this Nashville Predators team now, you know, you've got a couple of, you got three straight games against Eastern Conference, followed by, as Zach put it, a critical matchup with the Minnesota Wild on the back end of a back-to-back.
I don't toss around the term must win often because, you know, really there's not a must win until you're in the playoffs or until it's, you know, it's do or die. Sunday feels like as close as you're going to get to a must win.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you look at what happened last Tuesday night.
Yep.
I mean, and with any luck, this is a team that, you know, kind of says, okay, it's time for us to, you know, let's seek a little revenge there. We just got it in Dallas, and boy, that tasted pretty good. Let's see what that tastes like in Minnesota. But you look at this Nashville Predators team right now. You're looking at a team that is a half-and-half proposition to make the playoffs. So my favorite, you know, website at this time of the year, Sports Club Stats.
42%.
43.8 right now. And, I mean, so if you just want to know who to root for right now, you want to root for, well, let's see here, where's my, you want to root for Arizona, because that's going to help.
You want to root. They're currently up 2-0 on the Jets.
That's nice. And you also want to root for, you know, Edmonton, you know, probably want to root for, root for an asteroid.
An asteroid.
Asteroid for the Edmonton-Vegas game. But, I mean, this is a team with a 50-50 chance to make the playoffs, but again, it's a team with its playoffs destiny in its own hands.
Yes.
It's so close that every game, every day, it's going to change every day. You're going to go from 40% to 70% when you win two in a row, and then you lose two in a row, it's going to go back to 40%.
Mm-hmm.
Because other teams are losing two, and they're also winning also. So it's just a, you just got to take care of your games. And this road trip, you just got to focus one game at a time. I know it's kind of cliche-ish.
Right.
And I'm a coach, and I love the cliches. but we got to win tomorrow night. Because it's not the worst team, but no team's bad in the league. But they're the most vulnerable right now, and you got to win one of the two in the next games, and you have to win the Sunday game. So you got to get 6 points out of that. That's how you get 6 points: is two out of three with them, and then win the Sunday Minnesota game, and that's imperative.
You know, after this last two games, I don't think it's out of line to hope for a 16-game winning streak. You know, and realistically, a 32-game winning streak. And let's just cruise right to the cup at that rate. Am I asking too much here?
Yes, like,
maybe just a little bit.
Tone it down just a little there.
Nope. But when you look at where this team stands right now, you look at this team that has a total, as we sit here right now, March 9th, 2020, at the beginning of play, this is a team that has 76 points. I'm going to tell you right now, the Mendoza line to make the playoffs looks like 94. So you need 18 points in your next 14 games.
8-4-2. You need 8-4-2. That's what you need.
And gee, what is that? Four out of every
66%
six points.
Yep, the devil's percentage.
Four out of every 6 points. It's what, you know, I've been saying it since January.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still true right now. Now, look, does 94 guarantee you get in? No, it only gives you a 96.5% chance.
Can we make The Number of the Beast by Iron Maiden the song of the upcoming run? You know, 66.6 percentage points. That's all
like
you need.
How much does it go down if you get 93 points? Is it
Actually, only a few points. 93 is you're at 89.2.
That's pretty good.
I mean, I always look at that 90% range as kind of the Mendoza line.
Still
there.
Still 11%.
It's so hard to tell because you have teams that come out of nowhere, like the Philadelphia Flyers, and go on nine
game
runs.
And you have 3-point games, too, so that's what hurts. Mm-hmm. 3-point games really hurt if you're trying to catch somebody.
It's exactly right. So you've got Montreal tomorrow night, you know, making acquaintances with the so-called injured for life. Wait a minute. No, he's not. He's coming back. He's going to retire. No, he's not. Shea Weber.
And if he plays every game, his 1,000th game is in here on
That would be really kind of cool.
He's so cool.
Wouldn't that be
cool? That would be really kind of cool.
He plays every game. It'd be a 1,000th game when Montreal comes to town here.
That'd be special.
That would be very special. That would be something very special to be a part of. So keep an eye out because Montreal is scheduled to be in here early April. So I think it's April 4th.
Shea doesn't cry very often, but I do all the crying for Shea because I cry at everything. But he's a tough guy, and he just wants to be stoked and play the game. That he doesn't want anything, any attention on himself.
Never has.
Oh boy, 1,000 games for Shea Weber. That'd be great.
And to have the two teams that he's played for.
Right, exactly. That's what I mean.
You know, in, you know, probably on Wednesday night hockey, if you look at it. I mean, because that's going to be a Wednesday night game. And if NBC doesn't carry that one, they're really out of their minds. So could be a lot of stuff happening on that one. So that's a big one. Then you're looking at Toronto and the Toronto Maple Leafs. I mean, talk about a team that's kind of hard to figure out. It's a team that...
Well, we're not familiar with one of those at all.
No. We'll never have that idea.
They're just like us. I think they're just like us. So you can't figure them out.
Spider doing a push-up on a mirror, Mr. Crisp.
Yep. Well, you know, you think about talking to Steve Dangle last week. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a team that right now, get them in a shootout, you're in good shape because they're 1-5 in a shootout. 4-5-1 in their last 10. I mean, this is a team that was competing for the Atlantic and now is fighting for its playoff life. And I don't know how they're reacting to it, though. This has just been such an odd team to try and look at and go, I mean, look, Nashville, you can almost expect it. But Nashville also doesn't have a Mitch Marner. Nashville also doesn't have a Jonathan Tavares. Nashville also doesn't have an Austin Matthews. I mean, so you're looking at, you know, superstars on that team. And, you know, but you're also looking at a team with question marks in goal. Have had it all year.
That's what I mean. Richard
Anderson has been one of the lone bright spots, I think, for that term.
He's been serviceable. But part of the problem is their defense.
The biggest issue is they have no defense.
Exactly. No.
Yeah. They have no. I was just saying.
They don't have a Roman Josi.
They don't have a Roman Josi. They don't have a
Matias Ekholm.
Matias Ekholm, Ryan Ellis. But they have.
They don't even have a Dante Fabro.
They have a bunch of good forwards, like you just mentioned, with Marner and those guys. But they don't have the defense. So they're a funny team. They look great for. They look great in here when they played us.
Yeah, no kidding.
But they don't look great in other games, and you have to exploit when you play Toronto Maple Leafs. You have to exploit their defense. You have to forecheck and make them make turnovers. You let them come with speed, they'll waltz right through you.
You can't get in a track meet with them.
You can't get in a track meet, and you can't stand back and be standing still going backwards playing defense. You have to be going forward on your toes and forechecking and winning games that way against Toronto Maple Leafs.
You just saw, but I mean seriously, in these last two, you saw what you need to do.
Right.
I mean, you saw this team play on its toes for, I'm going to say, 58 out of the 60?
Oh, I mean, they got dummied in those last two periods. Once Nashville scored that goal, it was all Dallas.
And you know what? And you look at it from a standpoint of, but again, it was all Dallas on the pushback. Mm-hmm. But to give the Predators credit, not only did you have outstanding goaltending, but you also had outstanding defense. Mm-hmm. You saw the crease being cleared. You saw
kept a lot to the outside.
Yeah, most of those. I mean, the high danger chances were almost non-existent. Mm-hmm.
And when they were there, Saros was there.
So when you look at this Nashville Predators team again, I'm pretty pleased with not only the results but the effort on that, because when you are at that point, you know there's going to be a pushback.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just score facts.
That's usual, you know?
I mean, and because Dallas is a good team.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, as much as it pains me to say that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, from anything from Dallas personally.
They're not only a good team, but when you get up a goal and you got a period to go, you don't go full out to forecheck. You let them come at you a little bit. You sink in too much sometimes, and that's where they get the chances. But they kept them from the outside, and like you said, when it was a tougher shot or a tougher scoring chance, UC was there for us.
Watch the Winter Classic again, and you can see the difference between those two games. They went up early, both games, you know?
Right.
And then the difference was this time, clearing the crease, goaltender making the saves.
Yep.
And at that rate, you know, much different story than you saw on January 1st.
Well, and again, that's another team you look at and go, well, with UC Saros in net, I have no problem with meeting up with them. What's Saros, 6-1 against Dallas? I mean, mm-hmm. It was funny. I was trading trading instant messages with Jeff, their PA announcer, and he's just like, oh, man, he goes, I'm glad they didn't start Saros in the Winter Classic. I mean, so, you know, but when you look at that then, you've got Montreal, you've got Toronto, and then the back-to-back, and Columbus, and, you know, is that, boy, that team, when they were in here, they just don't stop working. I mean, and that's
John demands it. Yep. That's all he demands. One thing from you: you work hard because it covers up for everything else you do wrong.
Well, so that's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good week of Predators hockey. Four games in 6 nights. Yeah. So I mean,
and a watch party for every one of them. So come on out.
this gratuitous plug brought to you by. Now, anyway, and guess what? You've just blown another hour with Slapshot Radio here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, we'd like to thank you for joining us. Hey, we're back next Monday night at 7 p.m. A big thank you to our sponsors, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Carter Church from Weichart Realtors, the Andrews Group, your real estate agent in Murfreesboro and Nolensville, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits on Moores Lane in Cool Springs, and Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, three locally owned Middle Tennessee locations. When you visit one of our sponsors, please make sure you tell them you heard about them on Slapshot Radio and thank them for their support. For our producer, the one and only Max and his Silver Hammer, our co-host Brent Peterson, Zach McCann, I'm Paul McCann saying good night and good hockey.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.